All right, in John 10, the Lord gives us perhaps the most vivid picture of himself as the shepherd of the sheep to be found anywhere in the New Testament. Let's read. Look at verse 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Dropping to verse 26. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. As we read the New Testament, we see how frequently the symbol, the similitude of the shepherd and the sheep comes up in the Old Testament scripture. That God is our shepherd, that we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture, as it said. But we see that same thing brought over into the New Testament. And sometimes it is the shepherd or the pastor that is the shepherd. But in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, he gives his life for them. He gives them an irresistible call. And they come, he finds them, all of his sheep that are lost, and he brings them into the fold. In the New Testament, it is a frequent truth that we are the sheep, that the Lord Jesus is the shepherd, and that is cited in many passages of Scripture. Just give some in passing. There's our text here in John chapter 10. There is that text in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, to beware of false prophet, of wolves in sheep's clothing, because the wolf is the natural enemy of the sheep. Matthew 26:31, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Ye were a sheep going astray, but I'll return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Each of those and more speaks of this unique relation between the Lord and his sheep. But each metaphor used has its corresponding state or condition, which portrays the state of the family of Adam and gives us, as it were, a mental picture. For example, when Christ said, I am the bread of life, it pictures man famished, starving, perishing, without help and without hope. When Christ declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it concludes that the people are lost from the right way and must therefore be brought into the right way, which is the Lord. And when he said, I'm the light of the world, it pictures our spiritual darkness that we cannot see the things of God. Even so, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd, it paints that mental image in our mind that prevails in the 23rd Psalm, as we have there, the shepherd and the sheep. A shepherd, a flock, a green pasture, still waters, wolves, wandering strays, a seeking shepherd. All these visible images are associated with such a relationship of shepherd and of his sheep. I remember, pardon this, being in Colorado, rented a Jeep, went way back in the mountains where you couldn't go except on a Jeep, came over down into a valley, and there was a man, a shepherd. He had sheep all over the sides of that mountain and that valley. And there he was, and at night he'd take them in. He had a little trailer to sleep in. But all of those sheep would be watched over and guided and led forth that they might drink and that they might eat for the day and then brought in for the night. Now, the proper description of depravity under the picture or symbol of a sheep is that they are lost. They cannot find their way. They're separated. They're out yonder somewhere wandering and alone and subject to all the perils of the wild and the wild animal. Now, sheep being wandering creatures, they're lost. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone under our own way. Now, the leading idea being that by nature, they are alienated from God. They are lost. They are astray. They're not in the fold. They're out yonder somewhere, subject unto danger and to death. The strayed flock, therefore, will never find its way back apart from the shepherd coming, finding it, and leading it in. The truth being that neither the strayed flock nor the individual sheep, one by one, ever finds its own way back into the fold, that he must go forth and find his sheep that was lost. Now, the text said, I am the good shepherd. Notice, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd of the sheep. So let's look again at the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ to shepherdhood. I am the shepherd. Not just I am a shepherd, I am a good shepherd, and so forth. Good shepherd of the sheep. Now, he's opposing himself to the hireling that was mentioned in that passage that we read. In a greater way than mentioned in verse 2. One of many shepherds. No, he is the one great shepherd. It is equal to, I'm the great, I'm the good, I'm the chief shepherd, as he is called in other places in the Scripture. We put this in the same category as all of the other great I ams of the Lord. I am the light, I'm the bread, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and so forth. So, John Brown wrote on this statement, Christ's words are to be understood thusly, I am a shepherd, I stand in the peculiar relation to a peculiar people who, in conformity to the figurative representation employed, are termed my sheep, and I am appointed and engaged to perform toward them the duty and the work of a shepherd, the words of John Brown. In other words, I actually perform, and I perform perfectly, all of the function and the duty of a shepherd, especially giving them life, saving them, gathering them into the fold. For they're not left to wander alone and lost, but are found and brought into the fold. I believe the Lord is saying, that shepherd, or I am the antitype or the fulfillment of that great shepherd that is described over in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 through 24. It's a rather long passage. I won't turn there and read it, but if you'd like to sometime, you'll see the great image of a shepherd and how our Lord fulfill that in his ministry. Now, as the shepherd of the sheep, he secures them and provides for them life, shelter, protection, and all things. And the greatest need that can be summed up in eternal life. He gives them not only grazing grass and flowing water, but he also gives unto them eternal life. For they're not four-legged beasts as we think of them, but they are the people of God and are called sheep. Now notice what he said about the hireling and the thief in John chapter 10. He said the thief comes that he might plunder and that he might steal in verse 10. To steal, to kill, to destroy, this is the aim of the hireling and of the thief. These thieves must surely be wicked men who come as wolves, Acts 20:29, though they are wearing sheep's clothing and pretending that they are a sheep, to draw away disciples after themselves. Now, the thief only lives and thrives that he might steal the property of another. That's how a thief does. He does not work for it. He steals it. And therefore, so it is with these false shepherds, these hirelings, and these thieves. They come to steal the property of another. They might draw away the sheep of Christ into their little herd and lead them astray. Now, to the contrast there in verse 10. The thief only comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now notice, a special kind and a special quality of life. I'm come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Now in verse 12 and 13, the hireling is compared, or should I say, contrasted unto Christ. The hireling is hired for a wage. He hires himself out. He expects a return upon that, but he does not have a shepherd's heart. Not really. He's a hireling. He's paid to go and do a job, and he would not do it except for the pay. Therefore, he does not really love the sheep. He does not really own the sheep, and he does not really care for them. He does not care for their welfare. He would not risk his life to save theirs, and he would not lay down his life in order that he might save the flock or the herd. You can see the case for comparison of a wicked hireling priest way over in the book of Judges, chapter 17. A hireling priest. He was hired by a man to come and to do what he wanted him to do and tell him what he wanted to hear. This can be seen in many areas of life, I believe, that one does not place the same value upon something that they do not own, or that they did not buy, or that they have not sacrificed and labored for. Do not treasure that which belongs unto others as they would something that belonged unto them. There is so of the hireling shepherd as well, whose own, the Lord said, the sheep are not. They're not his sheep. He hasn't bought them, and he doesn't own them. He has nothing invested in them. He's put out nothing that he might acquire them. They are not his. He would feel no loss if the sheep were taken away or lost or strayed or killed or died. But the good shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the sheep because they are his very own. He does not flee when he sees danger or coming wolves approaching unto them. No. Verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep in order to save them. Now, for giving his life for the sheep was not in the sense of a martyr. He did not die as a martyr in behalf of the sheep. He is dying for a special cause, or a special principle or a special end. Nor was it in a heroic sense that our Lord would lay down His life for the sheep. But Christ dies for the sheep in a way of substitution, vicariously, as a propitiation. This is how or why He laid down His life, to eternally save them from their sin, for He bore their sin, that He might expiate, that He might reconcile them to Himself and unto God, that He might gather them together into a flock from wherever they have been scattered or driven. Now, in the metaphor, we might reckon, if the sheep be dead, if He laid down His life, if He become one, if He overcome by the horde of the enemies, what shall be? Then the sheep are hopelessly lost and are scattered, and they become helpless prey to the thief or to the wolves or beast or the ravine or wherever they might find themselves wandering about. And indeed, when the shepherd is smitten, Jesus said, Zechariah said, the sheep will for a time be scattered. And when our Lord was put to death, how they went each one again to their own home, as the Scripture has said unto us. But the picture is clear that the shepherd is killed by a thief or a wild beast. The sheep are scattered. They're frightened. They run wild and blindly in any direction. And we saw this with the disciples of Christ when He was dead and buried. They were as sheep having no shepherd. But Christ puts His death in a proper perspective. And that is that both His death and His resurrection are the will of God and will certainly occur. He has the authority to lay down His life. He has the authority to take it up again. So in verse 10, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life. And then look at verse 18, I lay it down of myself. That is, no man snatches it away. No man takes it from me. You know, we need to realize that they could never have put our Lord on the cross. They could never have put Him to death except our Lord willingly yielded Himself up, gave Himself unto them, lay down His life, is the way that it is described in the Scripture. You were as sheep going astray, Isaiah 53, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Peter wrote that in one of his epistles. You were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Back in the fold again, found, brought home safely, given eternal life and security, our life safely hid in that of our Lord and Savior, our great shepherd of the sheep. Now, this is not to insinuate that they have returned or on their own initiative. Not at all. You are returned by the shepherd, by the call of the shepherd, by the irresistible drawing of the Spirit of God. He has given a satisfaction for their sin, whereby the Father forgives them, and they are reconciled. They are restored again to fellowship with God by the work of the great shepherd. Note the double description of Christ that Peter uses in that passage we referred to. The shepherd and bishop of your soul. The shepherd and the bishop of your soul. The overseer of your soul. For our soul is in the hand of our great shepherd. It is a word, I believe, episkopos, rendered bishop in other places in the Scripture. To take the oversight, to watch over, to see to, and to watch, to superintend, a watchman, a scout, a sentry watching over the flock. Notice, watch for your soul, the overseer of your soul. Now, in a lesser sense, and much lesser, pastors and bishops of souls, and pastors are that in a lesser capacity. In Hebrews chapter 13 and 17 says of the pastors and overseers, they watch for your souls. They watch out. They take the Word of God, they study it, they learn it, apply it, and recognize by the Word of God an approaching danger. So they're watching for the soul. They're on the watch for heresy and heretics entering in. They're on the watch for wolves in sheep clothing that might come in surreptitiously and do harm unto the flock. For those who creep in unaware and therefore intend to draw away disciples after themselves. But Christ is the greater shepherd of the soul. He saves it from sin and from destruction. He has made an atonement for it that saves us. Therefore, we are brought in. We're blessed to have such a one as Him to watch and to superintend and to guide our very own soul. Going back to John chapter 10 for our closing, let us ask the question, who are these sheep? Well, He first speaks of the sheep, if you'll notice closely. The sheep, verse 11, 12, 13, and 15. Then He speaks more intimately and possessively. My sheep, in verse 14, verse 15, and verse 27. So we believe the sheep are one and the same with the elect. Even when they are lost, and even when they are astray, they are His sheep. For they are given to Him before the world, before they were born, and such like. For you see, if one is a shepherd, he must therefore have a flock. And a flock must have a shepherd. They're not left on their own. They're guided, provided for, tended, doctored, and such like by a shepherd. We should also notice that He disowns some as not being His sheep. Verse 26, ye believe not because you are not my sheep. Now, don't turn that around. Your unbelief marks you as not being one of mine, He said. He said, you're not my sheep because you don't believe, but He says you don't believe because you are not my sheep. And the reason is given in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. This is dealt with in some degree back in chapter 10 of John and verse 3 through 5. That every sheep knows and recognizes the voice of its shepherd, and the shepherd knows each of his sheep, and he calls them by name. They say it's a wonderful thing what's described in John 10, that at the end of the day, several shepherds brought their flocks into the fold. They were put into the care of a watchman, a night watchman for the night, while the shepherd refreshed and slept. Came the next morning, each shepherd gave a call, and his sheep only came and followed him. Again, when they gathered at the watering place, when the shepherd was ready to go, gave a call, his sheep knew his voice, and they come and they follow him. What a wonderful picture is that. My sheep hear my voice. They believe me. They obey me. They follow me. And watch this. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, neither shall any pluck them out of my Father's hand. There can be only two possible meanings. One, other sheep. Who are these other sheep I have, which are not of this fold? Them also I must bring. Beside the little flock, Luke 12 and 32, which were gathered to Christ at that time, others beside that will hear my voice. They will come. I will add them to the flock. I will be their shepherd. Now the other shepherd, or rather the other sheep, I believe, are the Gentiles, in addition to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Other sheep I have, not of this fold, I must bring. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. It's a divine necessity. Them I must bring. For they're chosen in election. They're given unto Christ as His sheep. They too will hear His voice. That is, they will believe. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd, all under the superintendency of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a promise of Gentile conversions, I believe. One flock, one body, as in Ephesians chapter 2. So, let's lay these two texts side by side in closing. Psalm 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He has died to save us. He leads us. He feeds us. He gives us the bread and the water of the word of life. He protects us, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of the work, the faithfulness of our great and good shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, we read in the scripture, I am the good shepherd. You are my sheep. You know my voice. You follow me. And that's a mark of Christians, that they know the voice of Christ and will not follow the voice of a stranger. And that's a great work that God has done in them.